Welcome to the Jet Setter Show, where we explore lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Enjoy and learn from a variety of experts on topics ranging from upscale travel at wholesale prices to retiring overseas, to global real estate and business opportunities, to tax havens and expatriate opportunities. You'll get great ideas on unique cultures, causes, and cruise vacations. Whether you're wealthy or just want to live a wealthy lifestyle, the Jet Setter Show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Jet Setter Show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, where we explore lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. I think you'll enjoy the interview we have for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds here on the Jet Setter Show.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
It's my pleasure to welcome Todd Sullivan to the show. He is the co-founder of Globetrooper.com, and this is a very innovative business model where people come to create trips and find companions and groups and so forth to go on those trips, mostly oriented toward the more adventurous traveler, but not exclusively. And I think you'll learn some interesting stuff about how to find trips and adventures and all kinds of things. Todd, welcome. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Jason. And it's great to be here. I'm well. And how are you?
Fine, thanks. So you're coming to us today from Bangalore, India, one of the real tech capitals of the entire planet, huh?
Yes, that's right. It's a refreshing place to be, a combination of a great travel destination and a great place to work and meet people in the industry.
Fantastic. And obviously, by your accent, you're an Australian?
Yes. Brought up in Canada. Born in Canada, but brought up in Sydney, Australia. So similar weather to Sydney, but a much lower cost of living. But we'll be home one day, maybe in the future to Sydney. But at the moment, we're just traveling and working and building the business.
Fantastic. Well, Todd, tell us about the inspiration for Globetrooper, if you would. How did you think of it? You probably love to travel, I assume, right?
Yes. My partner, Lauren, and I, we love to travel. And the way we came up with the idea was that traveling, the experience itself, you can have ups and downs, all depending on a range of factors. And it's very rarely about just the destination or about how much research you've done beforehand. And what we really gathered was that it has a lot to do with the people that you're traveling with, whether it's the guide or whether it's your fellow travel mates. And so having traveled with friends and having traveled with family and having traveled by ourselves, we really came to the conclusion that there needed to be a platform where you could build adventure trips, find other like-minded travelers all around the world to join you, and then enjoy that similar interest with those people. And that's how Globetrooper came about.
So, Todd, that's fantastic. How long have you been in business with Globetrooper?
We've been in business for about a year now.
So 1 year, and how many trips posted or, I guess, travel matches made, maybe? I'm not sure what your metrics are.
So we have about 700 trips that have been created since day one. And basically, a trip is just an itinerary that someone comes up with, and they publish that itinerary on our site in the hope of attracting other people to join that trip. So we've had about 700 trips. Our most popular trips have up to 40 people that have joined them with the intent of traveling together. And we have a few thousand members at the moment, all who are looking at each other's trips and creating more trips and sharing those with friends and family.
And any particular destinations? When I'm looking at the site here, it is, of course, all over the world. One thing that's on my list that I really haven't been able to find a companion for yet is Antarctica. I want to go to the South Pole and check that out, and that's on the list here. Do you have, like, the most certain really popular destinations?
I think it depends on the origin of the traveler. We find that South America tends to be very popular with North Americans. Asia tends to be very popular with definitely Australians, but also Europeans. And then North Africa and the Middle East is becoming more and more popular. And then Sub-Saharan Africa is pretty much just stable at the moment, the typical overland journey that goes through there. My favourite, you know, it's hard to pick just a destination. The idea, again, with Globe Trip was all about travelling with people, and what we've come to learn with travelling with some of the people from our website and even just by ourselves is that rather than the destination, it's the people plus the mix and match of the activities that you engage in. So something like just climbing a tall mountain in the Himalaya can get a little monotonous for someone that doesn't have an intense interest in mountaineering. But what we've learned is that if a trip combines a little bit of, say, philanthropy, a little bit of adventure, a little bit of cultural immersion, that really gets all of the sort of travel juices flowing, I guess you could say. So more so than the destination, I think it is the people and those activities that are combined that really make the experience.
It's interesting when you look at Globe Trooper, thinking of the demographics. I mean, I would say from just looking at the site that you probably skew definitely more to the adventure side, and that probably means younger and reasonably, you know, physically fit, although that's not all of your stuff. I would assume also it's really a singles thing mostly, isn't it?
Yes, we never really wanted to just focus on singles, and we do have quite a few couples that come onto the site looking for travel partners, but the demographic really is sort of 30 to 50-year-old, a little bit of a skew towards female, surprisingly, and people with more of an adventurous mind than necessarily an adventurous body. So a lot of people just have that mindset of wanting to get out there and explore the unknown. They're not necessarily athletes or anything like that. Some of them will train up to do something that's more adventurous than what they'd normally do, but we find people tend to just go on trips that they've previously gone on, whether it be walking or cultural immersion or mountaineering.
And is there an average size group? Is it just one other person? Is it, you know, five people or 40?
I'd say the average group is about 4 to 10 people. We have just completed a trip in India that was 20 people. We have one of our more popular trips that's about 40 people, and only about 15 are actually traveling on that trip. But 4 to 10 is typical.
And when these people meet on the site, is there a certain sort of average lead time before a trip? I mean, someone puts a date up there, and I assume they're flexible about that, but do they usually put it up a couple months before or a year before, or what's the lead time?
The average would be about 3 months. We have a few that are 2 to 3 years ahead, and some people put 2 to 3 weeks, but I think the most successful are at least 3 months. It gives it enough time for us to market it through social media, for it to become featured on our homepage, and then for it to attract a few people. When any trip goes up, we have a few automated emails that go out notifying people with similar trips that their trip's up, so that gets it, gives it a bit of an accelerated rate at first, but it really needs some time because some of the trips are very specific, and to get to enough people to find someone that's interested sometimes can take a while.
And just out of curiosity, you know, I thought of another thing as I was listening to you. Is there ever any business component to this where people are looking to do learning retreats or motivational seminars or things like that or corporate team building stuff? I suppose not, but I just thought I'd ask it.
No, and we thought about it when we first built the site. And for example, we had an architecture student who wanted to go around the world and visit some of the most, what he thought were the most amazing architectural pieces. That didn't quite eventuate, but there is a lot of volunteering, or what they call volunteerism, and a lot of philanthropy. So not quite business, but definitely organized with a specific objective, and that is to either to help a village to, say, build some sort of infrastructure, or just to donate to either children or to whatever group that may be. So there's a lot of that on the website at the moment.
A lot of cause-related stuff then. That's great.
Exactly, yes.
So people go there, and 4 to 10 is sort of the typical size that works well. I mean, are people generally rooming together? They don't know each other. I assume they're mostly just meeting at the destination, unless they happen to be traveling from the same city to start with.
Yeah, that's right. It's when we talk to most people about the concept, the initial reaction is, what about the dangers of meeting someone just over the internet? And you know, what if they're a serial killer, and what's the protection in place? And there are a lot of questions around that. But in practice, we've found, and we've met a lot of the travelers from our website, in practice, we've found that it's very, very smooth. You pick a cafe, you pick a restaurant or a bar or anywhere, and you meet the person, and within 1 to 2 minutes, you've usually sort of got a bit of a groove on, and you can tell whether you're connecting and whether you'll be able to travel together. A lot of these trips are structured in a way that if you didn't get along and if there really just wasn't a connection there, you'd probably know while you were talking and planning the trip. And even if you didn't, there'd be a way to get out of it. You very rarely are you sort of stuck on that itinerary with that person. And often there's not even any prepayment. So we didn't think that would be the case when we first built the site. We thought that, especially, for example, mountaineering trips, you need to have a certain number of people, you need to have down payments. But the natural, I guess, evolution of the website is that the trips are much less structured and much more loose, their itineraries are anyway. So just to go back and answer your question there, that meeting together, and it sounds in theory like it'd be quite awkward, but we've found in practice it's much smoother than you'd imagine.
Well, the meeting, though, only really has the opportunity to take place when the parties are coming from the same origination city.
Well, no, when I say meeting, I mean actually meeting to start the trip, not beforehand. So if I'm in Australia and you're in the States and we decide to do a trip together, there's a mini forum on every trip, and we do a little bit of the planning. We talk about the itinerary. We may talk about accommodation, but then when we actually meet at the destination, we've found in practice that if they've got the same interests and they're like-minded and they love travel and they love that destination, we find that that meeting is usually very smooth.
It is with usually a group of people, so there's some safety in numbers, right?
Exactly. And we do have one type of trip that's becoming more popular, and it's just the generic round the world trip. So people will put the trip up calling it a round the world trip, and then they won't expect someone to join them for the entire trip, but they'll expect to meet up with people along the way. So that's really, I guess that's a new path for the website that lends itself more to just meeting people without too much preparation. And if the connection doesn't work out, well, then it doesn't really matter because you didn't plan to travel with them exactly for 8 months or 12 months in the first place.
Right. So those are travelers that are usually buying, what, the one way around the world ticket, and they get to stop at 12 destinations or whatever it is, and they'll meet this person there and another person there, or maybe several people at each place, and they'll do that through the Globetrotter website, right?
Exactly. And on the road at internet cafes, they'll keep the trip up to date. They'll mention changes to the itinerary and really try and keep in touch with people and understand where they are around the world so they can make those connections.
That's fantastic. Tell us more about the interesting trips that you've seen on the site, whether they be creative or whatever sort of makes them interesting, or you know, maybe they're very economical destinations or just great places to go in general.
Yeah, sure. So different trips really interest people in different ways. And for me personally, some of the trips that have really caught my attention are the ones that are just very daring and very creative and very unique. And one example, a trip that was put up recently, is an itinerary that involves climbing three volcanoes in Far East Russia. And I looked at the area on a map. The person mentioned the mountain range that they plan to climb, and I had a look at Wikipedia, and I just couldn't believe that it was in that very top eastern corner, and it just seemed like such a remote place with such an unforgiving climate and the temperatures there. So something like that really makes me think, wow, like people are just willing to go out into the middle of nowhere and try something quite unusual. Some of the trips like that really border on almost impossible and a little crazy. So recently we had a trip where someone wanted to ship their 4x4 to Vladivostok in Russia on the eastern side there, and they planned to cross. They wanted to drive right across Russia, and they had a few people comment on the trip and mention some of the obstacles they would face. And I think the owner of that trip has made a few adjustments and decided to do it at a different time of the year based on some of the feedback that they got. In terms of other trips, one that I love is the drive that some people do from either Cairo to Cape Town or London to Cape Town, so right down through Africa. We have a few friends of the website who actually have done that route but cycling it.
That is a long cycling trip.
Yeah, it was a four-month trip.
Oh, my gosh.
But the drive's obviously much shorter and a lot easier for the average person to do. But we've been surprised. We've had, I think, six trips now that are roughly that are going to follow that course from Cairo to Cape Town. So that's always an interesting one. Probably the most interesting trip that we have joined, that Lauren and I have joined, was a trip in Peru where we partnered with a local travel company, and the objective was to find a civilization that had basically been untouched by tourists or even foreigners or Caucasians or whichever way you want to put it. That was a trip that, as I mentioned before, mixed philanthropy with adventure, and it was really the whole gamut. We visited schools along the way as we got further and further into the jungle, and we donated books and pens and all sorts of equipment and met with the children. And our Spanish is very limited, but it was still a great experience. And once we left the civilization and the roads had run out and the schools had run out, we put the backpacks on and put the hiking boots on and just kept hiking until we found a civilization that truly hadn't really met foreigners before. And so that was a really special trip that we'll always remember, and not so much because of the destination, not so much because of the people, but really that mix of the philanthropy and the adventure and the exploration. And really one of the most rewarding parts of that trip was all sitting down in a pizza shop in Cusco right at the start with some GPS software on the laptop and really watching these local guys plot the course that we'd take into the jungle and really talking about it together and talking about the sort of gear that we'd take in, and everything being so on the fly and really feeling like an exploration more than a package trip.
Right, right. Real adventure. I assume that at some point, Todd, you're going to see someone of your customers or members maybe set a world record for something and be in the Guinness Book.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mention that. The couple that cycled from the top to the bottom of Africa, one of them was a woman and she got a Guinness World Record for that. It wasn't done through Globetrotter, but it's a trip that we know of and that inspired us to build Globetrotter and inspired a couple of trips that are up there at the moment.
That's fantastic. You've talked about some pretty, really amazing once-in-a-lifetime, or maybe never-in-a-lifetime for most people, types of trips. Is the site ever used for weekend getaways? Or, say, for example, here I am in California in the U.S., Southern California. And do you ever go on Globetrotter and say, hey, let's meet in San Francisco in 2 months for a weekend, or something like a city trip, or just some low-key thing like that?
There have been a handful of them. If I had to estimate, I'd say maybe 5 to 10 out of the 700 trips. They aren't all of the trips aren't extremely unique like the ones I've mentioned. So there are quite a few road trips across the US, driving one way or the other way or diagonally or following Route 66 or driving to Burning Man. And so there have been quite a few like that, which definitely aren't very dangerous apart from obviously the road. But and also those trips I mentioned earlier about the round the world trips, they tend to be more backpacking and quite safe and quite standard. So yeah, sure, just not so many weekend trips. I think for the weekend trips, people tend to just travel with their family or friends or people close by.
Yeah, it's easier to get your family and friends to agree to a small trip. But if you're like me and you're one of the more adventurous of your group of friends, you always have this battle and you just can't wait for everybody else to make plans because they'll never get around to it. And you got to go.
Exactly.
So Globetrotter is a great solution for something like that. It really is. Well, good stuff. You know, what else, Todd, would you like people to know about Globetrotter or just travel advice in general before we wrap up here?
I think that probably the main thing is that travel doesn't just have to be short-term. That's something that we've tried to concentrate on, we've written a lot about, and that especially it shouldn't just be left to retirement. I think what a lot of people have in their mind is that we'll leave, we'll work hard, we'll make a lot of money, and then once we turn 60 or 65, we'll travel for the rest of our lives. I think the problem there is that a lot of people realize maybe travel isn't necessarily for them, or when they get older, the type of travel that they missed out on when they were younger was really what they were interested in. And so what we really try to, market on our site, especially through the blog, is really people getting out there and doing these things just right now, whether it be just in their vacation, or whether it be taking a break or a sabbatical, or even for people that can work remotely, the idea of becoming a digital nomad and hitting the road and working from cities all over the world and taking advantage of lower costs of living. So that's something that we're really trying to get out there as well, not just these vacations that have to happen in the 2 weeks that you get off from your standard job each year.
Fantastic. Well, Todd Sullivan, thank you so much for the insights. This was very interesting. The website is globetrooper.com, and just a great innovative business model and a real service. I wish you a lot of success.
Great. Thanks very much, Jason. It was my pleasure.
Now's your opportunity to get the Financial Freedom Report. The Financial Freedom Report provides financial self-defense in uncertain times, and it's your source for innovative, forward-thinking investment property strategies and advice. Get your newsletter subscription today. You get a digital download and even more. Go to jasonhartman.com to get yours today. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.